people school out of business and a whole bunch of others.
Okay, bring to order the House Committee on Education for September 6, 2017. Okay, we have a very, very busy agenda today, so we're going to be able to keep, we want to stay on schedule. First of all, welcome all of you to our state capitol. We're glad to have you all here. And so we're going to be having a couple of hearings and a couple of workshops. But before we do that, I would like to introduce who I forgot the other day because we're in a different hearing room and we're not used to having the committee back there, is our committee member, Matt Perot, who is our committee assistant. I forgot to introduce him when we met last week. So anyway, with that, we are going to, first of all, open a public hearing on House Bill 2382, Future Farmers of America. Representative Barreto.
Do you want me to introduce that?
Pardon? Well, thank you, Chair Doherty.
Would you like, we're going to read to say what the bill does before
That would be
you
great.
Speak.
Thank you.
Thank you. Chair Doherty, members of the committee, House Bill 2382 directs the Oregon Department of Education and Future Farmers of America Association to coordinate with the intention of increasing student achievement and improving attendance for those enrolled in agricultural courses or programs. It establishes and administers grant programs under the Oregon Department of Education to allow school district personnel to manage agricultural and science educational programs during the summer months. It enrolls each student who is registered in grades 9 through 12 in school agricultural programs as a member of the National FFA organization. It appropriates $1,800,000 out of the general fund beginning July 1st, 2017. It allows FFA chapters to apply for a grant in the amount of $25,000 within the first 2 years of completing the assessment. This bill requires the Oregon Department of Education to collect data from each school district that receives such grants. It amends ballot measure 98 to allow the high school graduation, college, and career readiness fund to pay the established grant program in section 3 and 4 in the act. The bill has a subsequent referral to Joint Ways and Means. There's a fiscal impact and revenue impact issued. Fiscal impact statement is indeterminate. Revenue impact issue is a revenue light.
Okay. And what that means for the audience is that the bill will not go to the floor of the House of Representatives. It has to go to Ways and Means first. And so Ways and Means will be going through and discussing this. Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Representative Barreto.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Doherty, Vice Chair Wilson, and committee, House Bill 2382 creates some new provisions for ag education, or what we know as FFA, Future Farmers of America, through an incentive grant tied to ballot measure 98. FFA is an education program based on three core tenets of classroom education, lab learning, and student leadership. In addition to the STEM and the CTE curriculum content, FFA provides a student leadership component tied to agriculture that includes leadership development, in-class presentations, development conferences and events, and connecting real-world applications to classroom learning. FFA is not a 9-month curriculum. It extends through the summer months as students are actively engaged in events such as leadership training tours, regional leadership conferences, statewide training programs, officer recruitment, training and coaching, local, county, and state fair competitions, along with state and national conventions. The level of commitment from the FFA instructors has a definite influence on the outcome of the quality of the FFA program and those students involved. Instructors should be compensated for the inordinate amount of quality time and commitment they involve themselves in the program. As far as the details of the bill and the competitive grant process, I will turn that over to those that asked to have this bill brought forward. And since we have only 20 minutes, any questions, I would defer to them to give the most accurate answers. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. So we will not ask if the panel has any questions of you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. The first panel we have Andrew Dunn, Mary Mitchell Dyer, and Liberty Greenland. And if you want, we're going to come up quickly. Please come up here. And if you've never testified before, the first person to testify will just say their name, and then you give your testimony. And then we have questions for you if we do. Welcome. Okay, whoever wants to start.
Hi, Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Mary Mitchell Dyer, and I represent North Clackamas FFA, and I'm from Milwaukee, Oregon. It is my love of animals that drove me to decide in first grade that I wanted to be a veterinarian. I was very fortunate that when I started high school, I was able to participate in an ag class that offered hands-on experience on a school farm just 2 miles from the Clackamas Town Center. FFA is about experiences and developing youth as individuals, regardless of their background. In my 4 years, I have experienced taking starting my own business with a flock of laying hens in the middle of the city, keeping records and applying business skills. I've also practiced career skills used in the poultry industry through a national level competition. FFA has allowed me to compete in parliamentary procedure, which led me to become a certified parliamentarian. I have visited our nation's capital, learning how to give back to our local communities. I have applied veterinary skills both on our school farm and in competitions, which has solidified my chosen career path. Because of FFA, I am able to stand in front of you today and communicate my passions in life. FFA has changed my views on agriculture, animals, and on who I want to be in life. FFA motivates me to be the best that I can be and to help others do the same. My personal experiences with FFA have shown me that I still want to be a vet, but now I want to focus on large animals, assisting in food animal production. Growing up in an urban community, I consider myself very lucky to have found FFA. I believe that my future has completely changed because I decided to take one class my freshman year of high school. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I taught at Milwaukee High School, by the way, so welcome. Andrew?
Chair Doherty and members of the committee, my name is Andrew Dunn, and I'm a member of Sherwood FFA chapter. Think for a moment. What image comes to mind when you hear FFA? A farmer, livestock, tractor, perhaps our corduroy blue and gold jackets. Last year, this is all I knew of FFA. I'm a senior in high school, a first-year FFA member, and our agriculture classroom has transformed my view of FFA in the last year. In our classroom, there's a large mural of words that embodies the characteristics of our organization: determination, courage, heart, growth, pride, and tradition. Highlighted in the mural is one word which has transformed my experience: leadership. My family is not directly connected to agricultural production. In fact, only 5 members of our chapter have any agricultural experience prior to becoming an FFA member. I feel privileged to have found this organization that brings together a diverse group of students who see the value in leadership and agriculture in our daily lives. My experience in FFA is reflected in the leadership development areas of parliamentary procedure, public speaking, and job interview, skills that extend far beyond the high school classroom. I've learned about topics that impact agriculture and have gained a new perspective on the challenges agriculturists face. FFA has defined my passion for biology. I may not be producing the food, but I want to be a part of the solution to feed our growing population. I feel privileged that I can stand before you and express my passion for FFA, because in 1 year, I have grown exponentially.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Liberty Greenland. I'm the state secretary for Oregon FFA this year. And everyone in FFA, myself included, have gained so many amazing opportunities just by joining the organization. Originally, I got sucked in by a couple older members who convinced me to join, and they eventually became lifelong friends. And then I really fell in love with agriculture and leadership my junior year when I decided to write a speech for the public speaking contest in FFA. I chose a topic of viticulture, and I informally gave a presentation to some industry members. Immediately, they decided to create an entire position for me there at the winery in Dundee just because they wanted to hire me. That was the first huge opportunity that I got just because of FFA. From there, I decided to run for a state office this last year. And this has been the most amazing opportunity I've ever had in my entire life. And ever since March, I've been traveling all over Oregon and meeting over 10,000 students. A lot of you probably know the stereotypes of my generation, but if you were to have spoke with these students and seen all of their amazing projects, you would have been completely shocked, because I've seen some incredible, incredible students, and it gives me a lot of hope for our future. In addition, I've also met with a lot of industry members and seen many diverse sides of agriculture. And also, my most recent opportunity that I've had was the chance to travel to South Africa. My teammates and I just got back about 3 weeks ago, and we went there to learn about agriculture in another country. One of my favorite days that we were there was when we got to meet with a young, upcoming, first-generation farmer. And we asked him about his goals and where he saw his business going in the future, and he said all he wanted to do was preserve the land so that he could pass it down to his son and his son's sons. And that really hit home for me. The way the mission of agriculture being passed down from generation to generation is exactly the same idea as where I see agricultural education going with this legislation. FFA has changed so many amazing lives, and since we've been back from Africa, we've been sharing that message that we've gained from South Africa as well with members. I hope that you consider this this legislation, because it is going to change a lot more lives. I've had a lot of amazing opportunities. I know everyone here in this room has as well. We all look forward to seeing what the future holds for the future members too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You have any quick questions? Representative McLean.
I wanted to just thank you for your presentation and just simply say that it's very encouraging to see so many women in your group. When I was in high school, we had a great big state and also a school-wide debate because at the time women couldn't be in FFA. So I want you to know that you are a generation of very lucky young women to be able to get all of the economic, business, agriculture, speech, and leadership quality type activities that they have in this organization. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much for coming today. Okay, we've got the next panel. We've got John Chandler, Shelley Bosart Davis, and Heath Curtis. You guys want to come on up? It's the John Chandler I know. I don't see him.
It's not.
He's on his way. He's outside.
I was going to say. Thank you. Okay, if you want to continue.
Sure. Chair Doherty, members of the committee, my name is Heath Curtis. Most of you know me as an attorney for the Oregon Forest Industries Council. I expected to appear before you today entirely on my own behalf with approval from my organization to lobby this bill. Instead, I appear with the full-throated endorsement of my organization in its entirety to lobby this bill. As you may know, the Oregon Forest Industries Council represents Oregon's large timber landowners. I tell my story as a former state president of the Oregon FFA in 97 and 98, and I had two points I wanted to make to you quickly.
And before you go, you did introduce yourself for the record?
As Heath Curtis with the Oregon Forest
Thank
Industries
Council.
Thank you very much. Two points I wanted to make to you quickly. One is that the FFA is a very diverse organization, as evidenced my own career. My supervised agricultural experience with FFA, which is a prerequisite to getting your state degree in the organization, was in outdoor recreation. I grew up pretty poor. My family didn't have land. We didn't have animals. I had some family with land in northwestern Montana. But if you've been to the marina on Wallowa Lake and rented a boat there to go fishing, I was one of the kids that helped you. And that was what brought me through the FFA. I found a great deal of success in public speaking and parliamentary procedure. And I found a lot of friends in the FFA, and that, you know, propelled me to where I am today. The second thing that I would share with you is that in small towns in rural America, for the kids who want to try hard, it's sometimes hard to find people who want to be like you. That is to say, excelling in academics, being the prototypical gunner, it frequently doesn't earn you a lot of friends. What I found in the FFA was a place where, as I've said before, it was okay to be awesome, right? There's a culture of excellence in that organization, and when you see clear-eyed, hardworking young Oregonians putting in, you know, solid effort every day, that's something that school administrators should be clamoring to have more of in their schools. The idea that the state is not currently funding and could fund this organization, to me, is an extraordinary opportunity and something that we should be doing more of, not less. So that's my story. Thanks for taking
Thank
my
Thank you
visit.
Very much. Next.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, John Chandler. You normally see me with my home builder's hat on. Today I'm here as an individual citizen resident of Marion County and former state president of the Oregon Future Farmers of America back in 1974, which is the year of the blue snow for those of you who are of a certain age. And at the risk of unwinding the testimony you heard from the Pride of America's youth sitting behind me, I'm here to offer my personal, and if I had taken it to my organization's support for this legislation. In my years on this planet, I don't think there's been very many things more important to me, more formative for me, than the Future Farmers. It's a program. I went to Culver High School, which my graduating class was 22 kids. The whole school had 100 in the high school. there weren't a lot of academic opportunities present in a town that size and a school that small. And yet, because of my involvement with Future Farmers and my going through the ranks and getting myself elected through an oversight of the electorate at that point, but that's a whole separate conversation, I spent a year of my life as an 18-year-old kid traveling the United States, meeting with elected officials. I have a photo in my wall at my office of me sitting, along with the other 50 state presidents, sitting behind Gerald Ford when he was president of the United States, mm-hmm. came to our national convention and gave a speech. And I was sitting as far away from him as I am from Representative Doherty. Mm-hmm. I spoke in front of I don't know how many thousands of people, both extemporaneously and on prepared remarks. I got a chance to interact with electeds and news reporters and people of all stripes, including kids growing up in the FFA program, try to tell them about it, and I've continued to do that where I could over the years. This is an extraordinarily valuable program. As you've heard from Mr. Curtis, you'll hear from others, it doesn't take you in a direction of agriculture. Mr. Curtis, my family didn't own any land. My project was working for other people and basically keeping records of what I did. But my experience with FFA got me through college with relatively decent grades, believe it or not, and then from college on to law school, where my grades were a whole topic we're not going to talk about, and then into a career at the Oregon Legislature, helping shape public policy, depending on how you define those terms. None of that would have been possible had I not had FFA. I'd probably got a job at the mill, Warm Springs, Pullman Green Chain. It's a great program. I commend it to you. And just for the record, Representative McLean, I heard your question about the when you were in school. My year as a state officer was the first year that a female was served as state officer in Oregon. So we were groundbreaking in 1974, which isn't that long ago, and kind of embarrassing that it took us as long as it did to get around that corner. But we did, and I've always been happy to serve my part. Pass the bill. It's a good piece of legislation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Next.
Chair Doherty and members of the committee, thank you for allowing us to testify today. My name is Shelley Bossart Davis. Along with my family, we own and operate a farm in Albany, as well as a trucking company and export company that ships agricultural products to Asia. Born and raised in Oregon, I'm a third-generation grass seed farmer. And Representative McLean, I truly appreciate you saying that. And I thank so many women that came before me, before us, that I can literally sit here today and talk about my part in agriculture. Thank you. I hope today I can show you two things. One, just how hireable an FFA or past FFA young adult is, and two, what ag education and FFA does for youth in America. Have any of you ever seen a resume from an FFA kid or ever hired an FFA kid? It's impressive. In fact, I've never not hired an FFA kid to this date. I've sat at FFA events where the businesswoman next to me said I'd hire any one of them. It's so impressive to see. Our local Chamber of Commerce asks for our local chapter at all their events. It's just impressive. A few of the class descriptions of my child's high school that offers ag education, I'd like to read a few of them. Environmental sciences, leadership skills, business management, career exploration, parliamentary procedure, job interview skills, public speaking, marketing. And if they receive an A or B in these classes, my child would be able to receive 18 college credits by the time that she enters college. Now, with the cost of education and the time it takes, we all know what a cost saver that can be. What other organization teaches these things and makes it fun? Of course, many of these are agriculture related, but here in Oregon, with 1 in 8 jobs related to agriculture, that is obviously necessary. Today's FFA also helps members prepare for careers in agribusiness, agri-marketing, science, communications, education, horticulture, production, natural resources, and many others. Regardless of the field, FFA will no doubt prepare them for their future. I could read a bunch of stats, but here is my absolute favorite. Nearly 60,000 high-skilled agricultural job openings expected annually in the U.S., yet only 35,000 graduates available to fill them, and that's annually. Job opportunities in STEM areas, science, technology, engineering, and math, are expected to grow. Expect the strongest job market for plant scientists, food scientists, sustainable biomaterial specialists, water resources, and engineers, precision agricultural specialists, and veterinarians. This is according to the USDA. There's lots of stats, like I said, but let me leave you with something a little bit more personal. I asked my daughter to give me a reason why FFA is important to her, and she said simply, leadership. FFA builds leaders. That same daughter, when she was in fifth grade, wouldn't be able to tell you what she ate for breakfast if asked right now. But in eighth grade, her and her friend Gracie was able to perform the FFA creed in front of the entire high school, and she did it flawlessly. Now, you guys are probably parents and can understand overcoming adversity and being able to do something like that couldn't make you more proud. I've seen firsthand what FFA can do for today's youth, and I'd like to have that opportunity to extend to all of our youth, because as you know, those kids are our future. I'd like to leave you with the FFA mission. FFA makes a positive difference in the lives of students by developing their potential for premier leadership, personal growth, and career success through agricultural education. Thank you for listening today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Any very, very quick questions, because we're out of time. Okay, thank you so much for your testimony. It's greatly appreciated. And the last panel, is Bryson going to be speaking?
Yeah.
Bryson Pierce and J.D. Kent.
Hello, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I am Bryson Price from Sutherland, and I have been an FFA member for 5 years now. This year I am serving as the Oregon FFA State Sentinel, and I have come to discover one thing, along with many others, but I chose one to talk about today, and that is in FFA and agricultural education, we have a system that works, and we refer to that as the three-circle model, and this is basically our system of how we learn within the organization. We have a classroom component, FFA membership, and a supervised agricultural experience, which is basically a project that we as students do outside of class. And I thought I'd just share my story of how that worked for me. And so in school, I took my agricultural education classes and I learned many different things, but I wanted to hone in on my business class that I took, and that was my favorite. And in there I learned about fiscal management and sustainable solutions that make a business last for more than 2 years before they go under. And I had the chance to apply these skills and practice them within my FFA membership, where I competed at a sales competition. So I learned about sales and customer relations. And then in my project outside of school, I chose to operate a landscape management business. And I had the chance to both apply what I had learned in class and practiced in FFA, along with come up with my own sustainable business solutions and really learn how to do customer relations and make sure that I'm running my business in a way that I can pay my employees and make sure that I'm keeping my customers happy. And I have the amazing opportunity this year as State Sentinel. As Liberty mentioned, we travel the state quite often, and seeing more than 10,000 FFA members experiencing the same thing I did made me realize that this system wasn't a Sutherland thing. It was a statewide thing, and I was happy to see that these other 10,000 students are learning something. They're not just memorizing it, taking a test, and forgetting it. They're actually learning it, because we lay this out in a way that all three overlap. And for that, I'm deeply grateful for FFA, because it allows me to live my dream in the future of owning my own business and becoming a lawyer. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much.
Chair Doherty, members of the committee, J.D. Kant. I'm a high school agri-science teacher and FFA advisor in Implert, Oregon, over in Northeast Oregon, Union County. And I have to tell you, I'm going to step away from this for a second. I respect your time. I want to let you know that I've been sitting back and listening to these stories, and it's been very difficult for me to not get emotional. And I know in business and in law and in the legislature, emotions may not be the driving force for how we do that, but I actually would ask you today to consider that, because it's moved me in the back. I've watched generations speak just before you in the last 15 minutes, and the impact it's made. And as an advisor, I'm 15 years into my teaching, and you sometimes wonder at the end of the day, did I move the needle? Did I make a mark in the students' lives? And, you know, I have my students, which unfortunately they didn't get to come in today because they are out there. But I want to share you that the value and the importance of this is about a human. And if you really think about this, it's about our society. We have to feed 9 billion people by the year 2050, and we have to do that with currently less than 2% of the population directly connected to agriculture currently. And this is the mechanism in education through those three-circle approaches, which I did share with the committee. I think you have a PDF of that model. I'm not going to go over that with you. And I think you also can see how that makes a difference in people's lives. And there's a fabric to what we do, and I believe that can transcend across all industries, all professions, and all people. And I think you've noticed that today within the people that have spoke. So I will spare you most of this, but I'm going to give you some statistics why I think you should kind of earn some facts about that. We do need to feed and clothe and fuel this country. And in the state, we are no different. You probably can tell all the statistics about our food and about our hunger and the ways that we can educate students across the state as well. But in 1952, the federal charter allowed us that opportunity to have the three-circle approach, that model that is tried, true, and it's there. We're ready to go. We, in 2011, really lost funding with the ODE. We never lost connection, But this, the funding was through a SLDC special grant model where we were lost. FFA's identity was not within anything that you would ever would have seen. I've been here before as a student and testified, and people said, I would never do that to FFA, would never showed up in there. And so in doing so, in 2011, industry came in. We were down below one FTE running an organization of over 6,000 people trying to coordinate that. Industry stepped in. We've had that model for the last 6 years, and we have really grown as best we can with industry backing us. And there are people in this room whose businesses and individuals have actually stepped to the plate and paid for that. What we're finding is that we need to grow further and reach more students. And if we can, this legislation will allow us to do that. It will remove barriers for membership. It will remove cost prohibits that allow students to go to these leadership events. And for the small investment, and I know this is dust in a budget that's very difficult to find any money this year, this is a person. These are people. This is an organization that can breathe life into students and move them forward. And we've been doing it since 1928, and the Smith-Hughes Act, the federal act, since 1917. It's 100 years now, and we've been able to do that. And so what I ask you to do is to really work to see, and I also want to share with you another fact, through that, since the last 6 years, the Oregon FFA Foundation and the Oregon FFA Alumni Association, through partners and donations monetarily and through time and donations, we've actually amassed about $1.5 million in contributions towards the organization as well on top of that. So if you take those volunteer hours and those dollars and add that into it, it's really there for us to go. Ag teachers are hardworking individuals, and that's who's bringing this before you, the Oregon Ag Teachers Association, and I'm one of those people. We are hardworking, long hours, long days, getting on the bus at 6:30 this morning to bring kids across the state and travel through a mountain pass. That's the kind of people that we have, and they're here today. But we can't do this alone. We need larger support from the State Department of Education, and we want to be a part of that. We have a great relationship with them. We're not willing to change or not wanting to change any of that stuff. We want to keep going with them. This bill will provide for leadership development, remove those financial barriers, and allow all programs to meet quality standards that are evaluated by industry professionals. We are partnered. Every program has an Ag Advisory Council with professionals within the community that help them advise what they're going to teach in their local programs. So I want you to think about this at the end, and then I'll leave it to that. Think of all the students that are being educated today in Oregon. How was their education fed today? Were they pushed to grow? Were they seen as learners? Were they seen as leaders? Was their understanding of science, math, reading, writing, and innovation applied in a real-world way that could change the sustainability of our nation? This legislation achieves this and strengthens our influence across all communities, all students, and provides students with high-quality experiences in an industry that needs their diverse talents, passions, and traits. I thank you for your time today, for allowing us to communicate and celebrate the values of Oregon's agricultural education and the FFA programs with the examples that these students and speakers had here before you today. I welcome any questions or feedback.
Thank you. Any very quick questions? Okay, I do have one comment. First of all, thank you very much, because ag teachers work very, very hard under. But the one really strong suggestion I have is the Ways and Means Committee, which makes the decisions as to who's going to get money in our very tight budgetary times, are going to have road shows all over the state. And so the Joint Ways and Means Committee will be going through different parts of the state and getting input. And I highly recommend that you present some of the information that you did here to the Ways and Means Committee, because they will make the ultimate decision. We give recommendations, but they're the ones that make the ultimate decision for funding. So I highly recommend that, because it's a very, you guys have done a very, very great job.
Madam
As former
Chair.
Speech teacher, you guys are also very good speakers.
Madam Chair.
Anyway, very quick.
And they start this weekend right here in Salem. They start Friday afternoon and Saturday in Portland.
Yeah, up at PCC.
We'll work on it.
So make sure that if you need to know, when the hearings are, we'll get it to you. But I highly suggest that. Okay, any other questions? Okay, thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. And with that, I close the public hearing on House Bill 2382 and open up my board session on House Bill. I'm just closing the public hearing on House Bill 2382, and I'm going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 2548, Future Business Leaders of America. Rep. Hack, where'd you go? We lost her. Yes. She is not in here. Why don't we close the temporarily the public hearing on possible works on 2548? And is Emily here, Navarro?
I think because they were.
Oh, there she is. Well, never mind. We are going to reopen the public hearing on House Bill 2548. Representative Hack.
Hi, I'm sorry.
Yes. Mr. Sarman, are you going to be up there with Representative Hack or not? Okay, thank you.
We have a plan.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I am Representative Jody Hack, and I represent House District 19.
You know, Representative Hack, before we do that, we're new at this okay. right now. I'm going to have her read a summary of the bill so okay. everybody knows what we're talking about.
Perfect. How's that?
Chair Doherty, members of the committee, House Bill 2548 establishes Future Business Leaders Program within the Oregon Department of Education in order to assist high school students in preparing for careers in business. It establishes a program offering mentoring, training, and other resources to students and educators in high schools in the state through partnership with national and local chapters. It creates a Future Business Leaders Program account in the state treasury to consist of monies received by the Oregon Department of Education in the form of gifts, grants, or donation to implement the program. It allows the department to award grants to school districts, education service districts, and nonprofit organizations. This bill has a subsequent referral to Joint Ways and Means. There's a fiscal and revenue impact issued. The fiscal impact issued is indeterminate, and the revenue impact issued is a revenue light. There is a proposed Dash 1 amendment. The amendment adds to the types of high school education curriculum to now include, but not limited to, entrepreneurship, work readiness training, and development of qualities for employment. It also allows the Future Business Leaders Program account to now consist of monies otherwise available to the Department of Education, along with gifts, grants, and donations. There's currently no fiscal or revenue impact statement for the amendment.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, again, State Representative Jody Hack, and I represent House District 19, and I am here on behalf of House Bill 2548. And as indicated, there is a Dash 1 amendment. However, I think we have a little more work to do. The intent of the amendment was to definitely clarify that Future Business Leaders of America would be included under the Career and Technical Education mechanism for just a clarification, and then also to make sure that Measure 98 funds would be available to Future Business Leaders of America. So the reason that I introduced this piece of legislation was after serving on the Small Business Growth Committee, we had a resounding issue across the board from all sectors of business that we had a lack of a qualified workforce, a lack of a workforce with soft skills. And so I, too, was a participant of Future Business Leaders of America, and I'm a huge proponent of it. I know exactly what it can do. If I wouldn't have had Future Business Leaders, I would not have been as astute in interview skills and public speaking skills and entrepreneurship and business. And so while sitting on that committee, it just kept coming to me, you know, why reinvent the wheel? We have the ability to bring future business leaders to the forefront in our school system, and we need to do everything we can to assist them in providing more chapters and more groups in our schools. So that was my motivation, and then also to be able to provide them the mechanism for additional funding through the opportunity to utilize some of the Measure 98 funds. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to you because this is FBLA past president, right?
I'm old.
And then we also have several others here that are also FBLA participants that I'll be speaking to. So I'm going to stick around for yours, and then I got to go back to committee and if there's any questions. So we're going to do a little more work on this.
But okay, thank you very much. Mr. Sarman is the name.
That Chair Doherty, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Taylor Sarman. I'm a native northeastern Oregonian, but now reside in Tualatin. And I had the privilege of serving as Oregon FBLA state president in 2010-2011, and I represented the 250,000 members of the Future Business Leaders of America as national president in 2011-2012. And I'm here today to ask for your support for House Bill 2548. I'm sure many of you can look back at moments in history that changed the trajectory of your life and led you to the seats that you're in now. And for me, the decision that changed my life was my decision to join the Future Business Leaders of America. I grew up in a small rural town in northeastern Oregon. I was a first generation college student, and it wasn't always obvious to me that college was something that I could access. That is, until I joined the Future Business Leaders of America and was able to benefit from the countless programs that help students to prepare to be college and career ready. I truly believe these programs are vital for our students in our rural school districts because, but for FBLA, I'm not sure what other opportunities would have exposed me to the life experience that I learned outside of my hometown. I often joke there are students that I went to high school with that wouldn't be able to picture what mass transit looks like except for their trip to Portland for the State Business Leadership Conference that FBLA puts on where they got to ride the MAX line. And my experience in FBLA helped inspire my passion for public service, a passion that led me to study political science at Oregon State University, where I served as student body president. And my experience in FBLA also opened the door for me to serve as an intern in President Obama's administration in 2016, which has finally led me to the Oregon State Capitol, where I have the privilege to serve the chair of the House Education Committee and the good representative from Tigard. And I can honestly say that none of those things would have been possible for a small town kid from northeastern Oregon if it wasn't for FBLA and the experience that the organization gave me. So I'm excited to be here to ask for your support for House Bill 2548 because it'll help expand opportunities like I was lucky to have to students all across Oregon, regardless of the zip codes they live in. And I thank you for your consideration and urge your support.
Okay, thank you. Any quick questions?
Can I comment, Chair?
Very quickly.
I'm also an FBLA alum from, I can't even remember what years. So I really appreciate your sharing your story. And it was something that changed my life as somebody who probably never was exposed to leadership up until FBLA. And I won third place public speaking state competition. You know, not first, so I can't brag, but third place.
Okay, great. Thank you so very much, and thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Okay, we have Toya Bruce Brosted, Trevor Taylor, and Jack? Bijay?
Biggie.
Okay, Biggie. Thank you.
Hello,
please.
Chair Doherty, members of the committee, thank you for having us here today. I'm kind of having the same issue as the agriculture teacher. It's as a teacher, this is just kind of an emotional experience.
And make sure you identify yourself for the record, your public record.
Tanya Bousted, business teacher and Future Business Leaders of America advisor at Canby High School. Mm-hmm. Just seeing all these students here from whatever the organization makes me feel so passionate and love Future Business Leaders of America even more because I look at all the students in my classroom and I teach many different business classes, accounting, personal finance, business ethics, careers, and I see so many students during the day, and what I love about Future Business Leaders of America is that any of them can be successful in my organization. It doesn't matter if they are a public speaking student, accounting student, marketing student, if they're going into the health field, engineering, or into business, the interviewing skills, the people skills, the soft skills that we teach in the business classes are so important to those kids. So what I love to do is to find some freshmen, quiet little freshmen in an accounting class, and draw them out and turn them into a public speaker. Like, wow, how did that happen? You know, it's really an organization that allows me to connect with students and pull them out of their comfort zone. They become leaders in our school, and I really can see them grow. I'm excited here to show off my my little ones here to you today. As I've watched them grow as individuals and competitors, it's really a fantastic organization that really promotes growth in high school students in a field that they probably or maybe didn't know that they were interested in, didn't know that it was going to be something that affected their future. But I love to see their drive once they leave high school through the Future Business Leaders of America organization. So I'm
going to have to have your comments go because those FA8 kids took some of your time.
Yes, that's all right.
So please.
Chair Doherty, members of the committee, my name is Trevor Taylor and I am from Canby High School. FBLA is important to me because it's prepared me for the future. Just to be brief, it's taught me communication and social skills, public speaking skills, and it's given me so much more confidence in searching for careers and things such as job interviews. Basically, FBLA has taught me how to be a leader, and it's helped me encourage and engage in students from my school and all other schools all around the state, and I know that these skills will carry on into college and even my career. Thank you.
Chair Doherty and members of the committee, my name is Jack Biggie, and I'm representing Canby High School, and I ain't come here with a prepared speech, so I'm going to be speaking to you guys from the heart. So FBLA is important to me because it's developed my networking skills and my public speaking skills, along with leadership that Trevor talked about. So my networking skills have just increased just by going to the competitions and being able to meet new people, just learning the soft skills of saying hi, handshakes, big deal for job interviews. Just learning those things is just very important to me. And also public speaking has helped me a lot. Just every year I've competed in a presentation-based competition at FBLA. And so it's just helped with my public speaking. Just being able to like walk up here today and not have butterflies in my stomach talking in front of all you guys is just the best feeling in the world. I'm going to let you know that. And these two things, being able to speak one-on-one and being able to speak publicly, they build confidence. And confidence leads to success. You know, fake it till you make it, right?
And oh, I like that.
Yep. So confidence is what high schoolers need. And therefore, I say we need FBLA as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Very good. Any questions of this panel?
Quick comment.
Okay. Good job, you guys.
Comment, just to say thank you so much. I am so thankful to be on this committee and to see this room and to hear this testimony. Yep. I am just beyond impressed.
Thank you.
And as I say, I have kids, too, from the teachers, except that my kids now are grandparents, so someday that's going to happen to you. Okay, hey, thank you so very, very much. We appreciate it. Okay, the next one, we've got Josie Noter, Abby Harden, Sunny Payne, and maybe Austin Green.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Austin Green, and I currently serve as the Executive Vice President of Oregon FBLA, and I am here to testify in support of House Bill 2548. As a current high school student, I can tell you that many of my peers lack the skills that business owners are wanting nowadays. Skills such as business management, grace under pressure, and the ability to speak are all high in demand. The fact of the matter is that oftentimes these necessary skills are overlooked by our current educational curriculum, leaving students lost when they get out of high school. But with the support of 2048, we can change that. As now a four-year member, I can honestly say that I have learned so much through FBLA. I have created business plans, competed all over the nation, and developed the ability to speak, all thanks to this wonderful organization. Prior to joining, I was one of the quietest individuals you would likely ever meet. The idea of talking scared me. But through the help of this organization, I have gone on to be able to speak in front of 12,000 people at a national conference, a feat that many students my age don't have the ability to say. If you had told me that I would go on to do something like that, even a few years ago, I would have laughed and probably called you crazy. But here I stand today with the ability to do so. My success story is just one of the many that Oregon FBLA has allowed people to write. I, along with so many members, are now more prepared and confident in the future. The passing of this bill will be an investment in not only our students, but also our future as a nation. I support 2048, and I hope you choose to do so as well. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Abby Harden, and I am the Vice President of Media for Oregon FBLA. I go to Hidden Valley High School, and I am here to testify in support of 2548. FBLA has provided me with the opportunity to prepare myself for my future. It has given me skills such as public speaking, networking, and business etiquette, as well as helped me prepare for real-life events such as interviews. The experience I have gained over the last 4 years has given me a head start over my peers who may not have had the same opportunity. Running for state office was the best decision I have ever made because I get to implement these life skills before I even leave high school. I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to be a part in this organization, and I encourage your support in this bill so that other students have the same opportunities that I did. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Any quick questions of the panel? Okay, again, very, very impressive. Thank you very much. And then the last two, Don Schmidt and Bill?
There's two more state officers.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought we were going to have all four. Okay, well, thank you very much. And then the people on deck are Don and Bill. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Josie Nodder, and I'm the Oregon FBLA State President, and I'm from Hidden Valley High School. I'm here to testify in support of the bill 2548. As a state officer at FBLA, and even being a member, has changed my life tremendously. It has guided me and throughout high school, and it has molded me into a capable young individual. I have written and given more speeches than I can count in the last 3 years that I've been in FBLA. I have gained so much confidence by competing with my events. Throughout the last 3 years, I've competed in business presentation, graphic design, and now I'm starting to write a business plan. Last year, I competed at Atlanta, Georgia. I went on to place top 10 in the nation. I was eighth place in business plan. And standing on stage, realizing that I had competed, I had written a 30-page business plan, was an amazing experience, and realizing that I deserved that award on stage, competing in front of that judging panel. Just being in the competing room was the best part, not even standing on stage and getting the trophy, but knowing that I had done well and that FBLA had provided me with the skills that I needed, feeling that I was prepared to compete in my event, prepared to go out in the business world, prepared to speak in front of people and pour my heart out. That is what FBLA has done for me. And I encourage your support in this bill because FBLA has been a tremendous experience for me. And I wish this experience on every other member and every other student enrolled in a business course.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Sinai Payne. I am the Willamette Valley Region Vice President for Oregon FBLA. I'm a senior at McNary High School. I've been a member of FBLA for a year and a half. Before I joined FBLA, I had no care in the world about school. I was rarely there, and my grades were atrocious. I didn't want to go to college, and I had no plans for my future. FBLA has changed my life tremendously this past year. It has made me a better student by holding me to a higher standard, by putting me in a team that relied on me following through with my responsibilities. It has provided me with a team that quickly turned into family. FBLA has given me so many opportunities to grow as a person as well as a leader, giving me a structured and supporting environment to gain as well as strengthen my leadership and business skills. FBLA has made me who I am. It has taught me that I can do anything I put my mind to. I would not be here before you today, an Oregon FBLA state officer planning for college, if it wasn't for FBLA. Thank you.
Dave, thank you very much. Any quick questions? Representative Wilson.
Only a quick comment. I want to take a moment to welcome my FBLA friends from Hidden Valley today in my district. So good to have all of you here today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you. And then the last two we have on the panel are Don Schmidt and Bill Grop. Okay. And then just as they're getting up here, we were going to have a public hearing on 2558, And thank you, Emily, that we're going to hold that over. So we'll give a little more time, make sure we get everything in. Thank you.
Hi, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Dawn Schmidt, and I'm the Oregon FBLA State Officer Coach. And I'm also a retired educator. And I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 2548. Thank you for considering this for all of the students in the state of Oregon. It's an opportunity that I cannot express the emotion that goes into watching a student, the quiet little freshman that walks into your classroom, sits in the back of the class, and within 3 years can become a national officer leading, talking to over 12,000 people. The parents that contact you and say, thank you, you are the reason, FBLA is the reason that my student graduated from high school. It's an amazing emotion and experience that I find hard to put into words. So I thank you for promoting this bill, and I sincerely hope that you all will support it and pass this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Thank you again for your time. My name is Bill Graup, and I'm the chairman of the board of the Oregon FBLA Foundation that runs the state program for all the high schools. Currently, we're servicing over 60, close to 65 high schools with well over 2,000, close to 2,400 students this year. We are, in reference to that, we are pretty just over 60% female in our roles, and we try to cover as many aspects of the state as possible. I've been board chair for 2 years, but I've been with FBLA for a long time judging at state. I'm also a national judge for the national competition as well for over 4 years. The concept of just meeting these kids and seeing them put their best effort out is invaluable and gives me passion for the job that I do here. Fun just comes from, again, watching the kids grow, especially in the state level, where I see kids and I judge them as freshmen, and they're champions. Incredible. You see them again as seniors, and they're just amazing. I had the fortunate experience this past year of accompanying 94 of our best students to Atlanta for the national competition. We came home one of our best years. We have a national champion from Baker, two second places, one in public speaking from North Douglas, second place in video production from Scappoose, two fourth place finishes, Hidden Valley and Centennial. And the reason I bring that up is because the program is producing national competitors, and we want to be stronger, of course, but we are doing a great job. And the second thing I point that out with those regions is because we're bringing in students and making them national competitors from all over the state, right? Only one school there was Centennial for the metro. Everybody else comes from each corner of the state is getting the benefits of this. We have a person from North Douglas High School who the advisor there has told us if it wasn't for FBLA, they would not have a business class at their high school. They couldn't do it. So we're trying our best to bring leadership skills, entrepreneurship skills, right, business skills and personal skills to these students all around the state. We do struggle, and we're always looking for ways to find ways of increasing membership. Even though it's only $15 to be a member of FBLA and get access to the program, it's a tough ask for a kid to go home in some places and communities for $15. And it runs about $80 to come and compete. And so the students raise their own money at various levels, and they come and compete at nationals. State. We had over 1,400 kids competing at state out of 2,500 members last year. That's phenomenal, and they raised the money to get that done. And we got a lot of support from our businesses and local chambers. That is fabulous, but we always are striving as a board of trustees to find ways to reach more kids, to get access to these kids, and that's what I'm hoping this bill will allow us to do in working collaboratively between our foundation and the state and the ODE, Ron Dodge out of ODE. So the more kids we can get into the program, the more success we can have. And a passion for CTE. I have my own foundation that we teach CTE. We're putting together in the Aurora area. For those who may have seen me before, I'm also the mayor of Aurora, Oregon. So I have a passion for my community and the kids in that community. And we fight hard to get these CTE programs. We all know CTE drives graduation rates.
That's
It's a very important.
And so I'm going to make the same comment that I made to the FFA panel, is that make sure that you all over the state go to the Ways and Means, Joint Ways and Means hearings, because they are the ones that will make the decision, because we can go through and pass policy every day, but if there's no money to back it up. And so I just highly recommend all of you, because I think once they hear the stories, once they hear especially the emphasis on, I may not have gotten out of high school, I may not have gone on to college, that kind of thing, I think is a very compelling message to send out to the Ways and Means Committee, big time. So.
And I know that, you know, my passion is with FBLA, being a Portland State MBA grad, you know, and getting business leadership out into our communities. But FBLA also is the largest outside of FFA, and we host the Leadership Institute, which covers all the CTSOs.
Yep.
So HOSA, DECA, everybody, we all come together and we collaborate, because we're trying to bring public and private funding together for the benefit of our students in a collaborative. So just even if we roll it where just the support of our state government and our CTSO programs is so important, regardless of whether we can pull the Measure 98 and stuff together, just to know that the state legislator supports our CTSOs and how we bring private foundation money into getting our kids educated is critical.
Thank you. Any other quick questions? Okay, thank you all very much. We appreciate that. Okay, with that, we're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2548. And we're going to vote, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to open up a work session on House Bill 2557 that we heard the other day. And if you want, if Aletheia could go through and remind us what that bill is. Okay? We heard the testimony the other day.
Chair Doherty, members of the committee, House Bill 2257 allows the Department of Education to waive the fee for a textbook title or an instructional material if the title is a teaching and learning resource that is available in the public domain or has been released under an intellectual property license that permits its free use. This bill allows the fee waiver from the Department of Education if the textbook format resides in the public domain or has been considered an intellectual property license. This act goes into effect upon passage. The fiscal impact and revenue impact have been issued. They are both minimal. And February 1st was the first public hearing.
Okay. So anyway, this was the one we heard the other day. Mm-hmm. Would you, Representative Hernandez, would you like to make a motion?
Yes. Chair Doherty, I move HB 2257 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Hernandez moves House Bill 2257 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none, is there any objection? Okay, if not, Matt, if we could have a roll call vote, please. And those of you that haven't done roll call votes before, they will just go through, and if you support the motion to have it go to the floor with a due pass recommendation, you say aye. If not, no.
Representative Evans?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Parrish?
Aye.
Representative Solman?
Aye.
Representative Sprenger?
Aye.
Representative Vial?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hernandez?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wilson?
Aye.
Chair Doherty?
Aye. And with that, the motion passes. Is there anyone that would like to carry this measure to the floor? If not, we will just assign somebody. Maybe Mr. Vial, would you like to, Representative Vial, would you like to carry this on the floor?
Happy to do that, Madam Chair.
Okay, this will be your first bill. So Representative Vial will carry this on the floor. Okay, with that, I close the work session on 2257. And actually, we are going to stand at ease. Can I open it and then stand at ease?
No, first you need to
Okay. Okay, so first of all, what we're going to be doing is we have a group in from Hillsboro, and there's going to be an informational hearing on getting to school. But members of the committee, we're going to do an informational session on W.L. Henry Elementary School, discussing safe routes to schools and absenteeism. But we're going to be doing something new today. The individual presenting have requested that committee members who cannot speak Spanish use headsets for translation. Those listening or participating at home or someone else can download the availability testimony on OLIS. Tomorrow, the translation will be uploaded to the online OLIS system.
There are only enough headsets for the members of the committee, so individuals in the audience can also review the testimony submitted, which is available online on the OLIS system. I'm asking that committee members refrain from asking questions until the end of the presentation. We will allow the entire presentation to be in Spanish using headsets. Then we will switch to translating line by line for the question and answer section. So that's what we're going to do, and we're going to stand at ease for a few minutes while you get on your headsets, and then we have the group come in, and then I will gavel us back in. So I'm going to give you five.
5 minutes.
Got it. Okay, I would like to reopen up the informational hearing from the folks from W.L. Henry. We're very, very glad you're here. Hola, ¿cómo está? Bueno, bienvenido. Thank you. And we have our... Okay.
Say your name. Say your name.
My name is Mariana Roman, for the record. Good afternoon, Chair Doherty and members of the committee. As I stated, my name is Mariana Roman, and I'm a Hispanic outreach worker at W.L. Henry Elementary School in Hillsboro. Our school lost busing in 2010-9-10 school year, and I'm here to share with you the impact that has had on our students. I want to introduce you to my school. We are located in Hillsboro and serve about 345 students. Most of our students are still learning English, and a larger group are coming from economically disadvantaged homes. We qualify for the community eligibility provision of the 2013 Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act, meaning we are identified as one of the nation's highest poverty schools. What our families lack in economic means, they make up for in passion for their children and their school. We have an active parent group that has taken on this busing issue. All students live within 1 mile of the school and are not eligible for reimbursement from the state in current statute. The district used to provide busing anyway, but cut it in the 2009-2010 school year due to budget cuts. Parents knew this was an issue, but they don't have a lot of options. They pay to have others drive their children to school, which creates an economic burden on an already tight budget. Recently, our school resource officer stopped a mom in our parking lot because she didn't have enough appropriate seating in her car for all the children she was transporting. She was also driving without a valid license. This is just one instance of the limited ways our parents are transporting their children to school due to the lack of busing. They walk or drive with them, which can cut into their work hours and cause an economic burden on an already burdened family. If they cannot do either of these things, they just worry. They worry about their children's safety. They worry that their children won't get to school on time and ready to learn. They worry that they won't get to school at all. Faced with the chronic, with the choice of economic burden or worry for their children's education, the parents began organizing. For the last few years, parents have organized to talk to the district to reinstate busing. They have talked to multiple people in the district and have yet to be successful due to a lack of funding. As a group, we contacted Representative McLean last February to bring this issue to her attention. She met with me and then met with all parents about this. After hearing from the parents, her office has continued to work on this issue. Now we are bringing it to your attention. We believe the lack of busing is holding our students back. We believe that you would be concerned about the outcomes created for or exasperated by the lack of busing. I have noticed a link between busing and student achievement. I will get into that later. I want to start with the health and safety of our students. Of course, it is our number one concern. My parents will detail their concerns about the safety of their children. I want to flag some issues I have noticed in the area. Starting with the street conditions. We lack sidewalks on most of the streets in the area. Speed data in the area shows that cars speed. And I have heard numerous reports of cars not checking for children when backing out of their driveways. And as someone who drives to W.L. Henry, I can tell you visibility is not great. There is a nearby creek, and our mornings are often foggy. There are also other safety risks. We have two registered predatory sex offenders in the area. We have a population of drug users in the area. Many students and parents have been chased by loose dogs. There are also health risks. When young children are walking in cold and rainy conditions, they get sick. But we also have a lot of students that suffer from chronic illnesses, such as asthma. We have had the help of Safe Routes to School, but they lacked funds to build sidewalks. They were able to reroute some pathways, but most of our official pathways are still without sidewalks. Here are some of the roads around W.L. Henry. This isn't a perfect comparison, but it tells us a lot. W.L. Henry and Eastwood, a nearby school, have some important similarities. They have a large majority of Latino students, with a majority of the students categorized as English language learners. Many of our students are mobile, meaning their homes are not steady. Both schools are identified by the federal government as among the most impoverished schools. We have similar populations. Their school is larger, and their class size is larger. We have noticed that their attendance figures are better than ours. One big difference, Eastwood has busing and W.L. Henry does not. I believe there's a link between class size and student attendance, and the recent class size task force report confirms that. Even so, we have more cases of absenteeism. We have lower regular attendance rates. I believe the lack of busing is certainly an influencing factor. We know kids are falling through the cracks, and the lack of busing is another crack that they are falling through. When we came back to school on January 18th from our latest snow day, the roads and sidewalks were still slick and icy. We had only 83% of our students present due to the unsafe road conditions. We are really here before you today because we care so deeply about our kids. I can tell you that the lack of busing has had a negative impact on student achievement. I know you as a committee are concerned with the achievement gap in Oregon schools. For many of our students, an achievement gap already exists when they enter kinder. Lack of transportation widens that gap. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. Now I will turn it over to the parents to explain the ramifications and outcomes created by the lack of busing. Due to time constraints, we ask that you please hold your questions to the end.
Okay, thank you very much. And make sure everyone identifies themselves for the record.
Mi nombre es Rosa del Carmen. Buenas tardes, Presidente Doris y miembros del comité. Gracias por la invitación de testificar ante ustedes hoy.
She can't hear you. Can you put the microphone closer to... That would be perfect.
There's a lot of static. Y mi compañera se llama Eloisa Rivera. Y estamos aquí como madres de la escuela primaria W.L. Henry.
Can you hear her?
Would it help if you came up? Maybe?
Gracias.
Un segundo. Ni si quieres puedes empezar de nuevo para...
Okay.
Buenas tardes, Presidente Dory y miembros del comité. Gracias por la invitación de testificar ante ustedes hoy. Mi nombre es Rosa del Carmen y mi compañera se llama Eloisa Rivera. Y estamos aquí como madres de la escuela primaria W.L. Henry. Hoy hablamos con usted después de numerosas reuniones con otros padres durante varios años escolares. Hoy hablaremos con ustedes en el nombre de otros padres y en el de nosotras acerca de los problemas de seguridad y salud de los estudiantes causados o amplificados por la falta de autobuses. Seguridad, dado a que los niños están caminando en la escuela solos e incluso los estudiantes de kindergarten más jóvenes, nos preocupamos por su capacidad para caminar apropiadamente a la escuela. En el invierno es oscuro y por lo general lluvioso y con frecuencia de niebla. Nuestras calles carecen de banquetes en algunos lugares y farolas adecuadas. Los coches a menudo van más rápido que el límite de velocidad y no siguen las leyes de tráfico peatonal. Algunos de los estudiantes más jóvenes no saben cómo cruzar las calles con seguridad. Aunque la mayoría de los estudiantes saben empujar la luz intermitente del paso de peatones, muchos coches eligen no parar. Los residentes de la zona a menudo no se fijan en si hay estudiantes al salir de sus entradas. Ha habido numerosos informes de niños casi siendo golpeados por coches y padres que caminan a los estudiantes a la escuela han sido golpeados por coches. Hay más preocupaciones de seguridad en las carreteras. Vivimos en una zona con algunas personas sin hogar y personas adictas a las drogas. También sabemos que dos abusadores sexuales registrados en nuestro vecindario. Nos preocupa que los niños más pequeños no entienden el peligro de los extraños. Ha habido reportes separados de adultos desconocidos acercándose a niños o pidiéndoles que entren a su vehículo o acercándose a ellos. Otro problema que nuestros niños también encuentran jeringas, pornografía, botellas con líquidos extraños y otros materiales desagradables. También hay un problema con perros sueltos en el vecindario. Se ha llamado varias veces a la policía después de que perros agresivos han asustado a niños y a padres.
Mi nombre es Eloisa Rivera. Yo voy a hablar sobre la salud. Otro problema de seguridad importante es la salud de nuestros niños. Niños en W.R. Henry afrontan problemas de salud crónicos debido a las condiciones de vida. Somos una comunidad de bajos ingresos y con el creciente costo de la vivienda nos vemos obligados a vivir en apartamentos y casas que tienen problemas de mojo. Muchos niños que van a W.R. Henry tienen enfermedades crónicas, como el asma, que hacen que sea más difícil para ellos caminar a la escuela. Otros estudiantes tienen problemas como con la vista, que limitan su capacidad de caminar a la escuela. Dado que Oregon es tan lluvioso y frío en el invierno, nuestros niños se enferman con frecuencia. Cuando los estudiantes están enfermos, tienen que quedarse en casa y perder días de escuela. Nos esforzamos para proporcionar ropa de invierno apropiada. Y a veces nuestros hijos se mojan y se enfrían en su camino a la escuela, que toma aproximadamente 30 minutos a pie. Ellos tienen que permanecer en su ropa, calcetines y zapatos mojados todo el día. La escuela intenta ayudar a los estudiantes a cambiarse a ropa caliente y seca, pero no tienen los recursos para proporcionar un cambio de ropa a cada estudiante. Debido a la falta de recursos, nuestros niños se enferman con frecuencia y pierden una gran cantidad de la escuela. Gracias por la oportunidad de testificar ante usted hoy. Yo y otros padres estaremos disponibles para preguntas al final de nuestro testimonio.
Okay, gracias.
Chair, we could probably have her come sit up in one of these chairs.
I think they're fine now.
That's she's got to see their mouths.
They have to stay down there. Absenteeism, academic achievement. Hello, Chair Doherty and members of the committee. Thank you for inviting us to testify before you today. My name is Elvia Mendoza, and I'm here as a parent from W.L. Henry Elementary School. I am speaking to you after numerous meetings with other parents over multiple school years. I will speak to you today on behalf of myself and other parents about how the lack of busing has affected the absenteeism and academic achievement. Absenteeism, we were told that the legislature has done a lot of work around chronic absenteeism. We see our busing issue as a cause of absenteeism at W.L. Henry, as my fellow parents have mentioned. Our students get sick walking to school, since myself and other parents are at work and cannot walk their school or kids to school. Some kids don't walk to school or arrive late because of the weather. We wish we could be there to ensure kids get to school on time, but we have to be at work.
Mi nombre es Rosa Valderas. Yo voy a hablar de los logros académicos. Cuando nuestros niños llegan a la escuela, a menudo llegan mojados y fríos, se quedan en esa ropa y deben estar a prestar atención en la escuela, ya que son fríos y húmedos, no están en la mentalidad académica para aprender. Hemos escuchado de los maestros que nuestros niños se distraen cuando están mojados y fríos, y que su distracción puede afectar el ambiente de toda la clase. Sabemos que W.L. Henry es una escuela de bajo rendimiento académico y sabemos que podríamos hacerlo mejor con más recursos. Veo el transporte escolar como un recurso que podría ayudarnos. Gracias.
Welcome.
Buenas tardes, Presidenta Doherty y miembros del comité. Gracias por la invitación de testificar ante ustedes hoy. Mi nombre es Laura Gómez Martínez y mi compañera se llama Rocío López Ábalos. Y estamos aquí como madres de la escuela de primaria W. Henry. Hoy hablamos con ustedes después de numerosas reuniones con otros padres durante varios años escolares. Hoy hablamos con ustedes en nombre de otros padres y el de nosotras acerca de las barreras, dificultades económicas causada por la falta de autobuses. Otros padres han mencionado algunas barreras que enfrentamos como habilidad de comprar ropa apropiada para el invierno. Eso está lejos de ser la única barrera que yo y otros padres enfrentamos. Hay padres que han dejado de trabajar para asegurar que sus hijos lleguen a la escuela de manera segura. Y otros faltan horas de trabajo para llevar a sus hijos a la escuela. Esto crea una carga económica adicional porque somos familias de bajos ingresos. Algunos padres no pueden faltar al trabajo para caminar o conducir a sus hijos a la escuela. Y hay padres que no tienen acceso a una licencia de conducir válida y legal. Estos padres deben caminar con sus hijos, hacer que sus hijos caminen solos o pagar a vecinos para conducir a sus hijos a la escuela. Otros padres y vecinos les cobran a los padres que conduzcan a sus hijos a la escuela por cada niño. Con nuestros ingresos limitados, esto hace que sea más difícil para nosotros pagar la renta y otras facturas.
Hola, mi nombre es Rocío López Ábalos. Me da mucho gusto presentarme con ustedes a petición de la escuela de mis hijos. Voy a seguir el tema que comenzó mi compañera. Dice que cuando los padres y los estudiantes caminan a la escuela están expuestos a los elementos. Como se dijo anteriormente, somos más propensos a enfermarse. Yo y otros padres enfrentamos problemas con el acceso al seguro médico. Tanto los padres como los niños necesitan ir al médico más seguido. Y hay una población de estudiantes que no tienen seguro de salud. Y la mayoría de los padres no tienen seguro de salud tampoco. El costo de visitas médicas adicionales es una enorme carga para las familias. Y les doy las gracias por la oportunidad de testificar ante ustedes hoy. Yo y otros padres estaremos disponibles para preguntas al final de nuestro testimonio. Gracias.
Gracias. So we're going to open up the panel to questions. And how are we going to do this? We'll just ask a question, and then somebody will translate, and then I'll thank
translate
you very
about
much.
The parents.
Okay. Any questions to the panelists? Okay. Well, maybe I'll start out. I worked in Hillsboro for 10 years with the schools, and I'm familiar with W.L. Henry.
He has trabajado en el distrito escolar de Hillsboro por 10 años y está muy familiarizado con W.L. Henry.
Yeah. And am very empathetic to the area. It's
mucha empatía para el área.
It's a nice community, but not the best part of Hillsboro.
Es una comunidad muy bonita, pero no es la mejor de Hillsboro.
And so I appreciate you coming, and I think there are some ideas that we can come up with to go to the district to talk.
sé que les agradece que ustedes vinieron hoy y pienso que hay ideas que pueden hablar, que podemos ir al distrito para hablar con ellos.
You had very good presentations and presented the problems in a very good manner. I appreciate that. Okay. Any other questions? Representative McLean.
Well, first of all, I wanted to thank you for coming here today, taking your time, bringing your children, and having your testimony ready to go, and doing it so quickly, like you were just ready to go, and we appreciate that. So thank you.
Primeramente, le quería dar las gracias por estar aquí, traer sus hijos, perder el tiempo del trabajo para presentar con ellos, tener su presentación listo y darlo como que se presentó.
Now the question for the rest of the panel, too. You wanted to make a connection between transportation and your students being able to learn.
Usted quiere hacer una conexión entre transporte y que la habilidad de sus hijos de aprender.
How long has W.L. Henry been without buses?
¿Por cuántos años ha tenido ha sido que W.L. Henry no tiene autobuses?
Por 5 años.
It's been 5 years.
And the second question would be then, what you are hoping for is for the state to give more transportation dollars for safe pathways to school.
Entonces lo que ustedes están pidiendo o esperando es que el Estado da más dinero a transporte para maneras de ir a la escuela seguros.
Yes.
Sí.
Yes. Do you plan to go to the Transportation Committee since they make those decisions, or?
¿Su plan es ir al Comité de Transportación como ellos son los que hacen esas decisiones?
Si es necesario, sí.
If it's necessary, yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Representative Pierce and Representative Hernandez.
Thank you. So I'm hearing you say there's no buses at all. Mm-hmm. And what's the furthest child away? Like, what's the zone?
It's less than a mile. Less than a mile. Okay. Yeah. All of the kids are less than a mile.
State.
Literally the whole school.
Both less than a mile.
Chair, I'll yield to Solomon.
Representative Solomon and Representative Hernandez.
Thank you so much for being here today. I sincerely appreciate it. I see several familiar faces, as I do serve on the Hillsborough School Board, as well as being in this position. So I thank you very much for advocating for your families continuously. I would also say that I do hear your concerns, and I do believe this is a very strong presentation, one that school board members can hear as well as city officials. And I do see the concern with the sidewalk situation when you are walking around in the area of that school. The absence of sidewalks is I'm just losing my just. It's unimaginable as a parent.
Sí ve la necesidad de los tener los banquetes en esa área. Dice caminando por ahí no se puede imaginar que no hay banquetes para esa área.
So your safety concerns are heard, and I again want to say that I appreciate you being here, and I appreciate your continuous advocacy for your students.
Sus preocupaciones, ellos están escuchando todas sus preocupaciones. Dice que agradece que ustedes siguen apoyando para la seguridad de sus estudiantes.
Thank you, Chair Doherty. I'll interpret for myself. En primera quiero agradecerles por venir hoy y estar aquí y abogar por sus hijos y su comunidad. Yo sirvo en el distrito escolar de Reynolds, que está en Gresham y otras partes y otras ciudades. Y también tenemos diferentes problemas y no de transportación, pero de equidad. En otras formas, pero yo creo que es algo que nosotros, particularmente a mí, que me importa este tema.
Can you translate it into English so we have it on record?
Yeah, I'll do it in English.
Okay.
I promise.
Okay, we'll keep it to it. Yeah.
Somewhat experienced. I'll do it in English right now.
So
I want to thank you all for coming. I think it's important that I want to appreciate you for advocating for your parents, for your children, and for you as parents to come and advocate for your communities I serve on the Reynolds School Board, and we have similar issues of equity, not necessarily around transportation, but around similar issues. And this is something that is important to me, and I hear you, and that's why I stopped. I guess my question, maybe if I can mm-hmm. ask a question to Representative Solman regarding, because in my school board, we do the budget, which has transportation budget. Is this an issue where, is it a school board, is it a school local district issue, or is statewide funding?
State, you get no funding if it's under a mile.
Appropriate for me to answer.
Oh, okay.
Can I answer part of that?
Sorry.
So we have a transportation, the transportation budget, but I think it is it not the mile, is the 1 mile is a state.
Yeah, it's not reimbursed.
It's not reimbursed. And so that's where we come into difficulty. But
so could I just make a, because I've spent about 18 months on this, and that's the exact reason they are in front of the education committee. Mm-hmm. There is actually a waiver for safety and welfare that they could get partial refund from the state for those buses that they chose to install them. But at this point, they've chosen not to because the school board and the school districts have a bad choice. Do we do teachers or do we do more buses? Even if you get some, you know, you get some reimbursement from the state. And so they're making choices. And so these wonderful parents wanted to make sure the education department and the education committees understood that transportation affects kids and the way they learn. And so they're not just in front of the transportation committee, they're in front of the education committee because they have to be able to learn. They have to be dry, they have to be able to get there, they have to be safe, and they have to be able to learn. Mm-hmm. And so we asked them to come all the way down here today. They're taking off of work to do that. Mm-hmm. So that they can let us know that transportation, just like having food for lunch or breakfast, when they don't have food sometimes, it's important to be able to learn. So I appreciate this committee taking the time to allow them to come and make their case.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other questions or comments? Okay, please tell them we appreciate them very much for coming down. Their testimony was very, very good. And and you're very lucky because you do have a member of the Hillsborough School Board here.
Y ustedes están muy afortunados por tener un miembro del mesa directiva de Hillsborough aquí con nosotros.
Yeah. Who is also a representative. So
que también es un representante también.
You get two for the price of one.
Dos por el precio de uno, dice.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, with You need to identify yourself and come up here.
No.
You have to
time out.
Yourself
time out. She has to come up. She has to introduce herself and everything else again. It's what we have is for a public record.
Okay. No tiene que ser para el record público.
Okay. Mi nombre es Eloisa Rivera. Yo solo estamos nosotros la primera vez que nos quitaron los bases. Bueno, cuando nos quitaron los bases, nosotros fuimos al distrito. Ya fuimos al distrito. Ya fuimos con el transporte. No hemos tenido respuesta. Creo que esta es la razón que estamos aquí, porque ya fuimos. Otra cosa es de que sí es una milla, según lo que dicen que es la ley, que tenemos que caminar. Pero nosotros caminamos 30 minutos o más para llegar a la escuela, de nuestra casa a la escuela. Muchos niños caminan solos, no llevan, sus papás no los están cuidando, entonces no van bien vestidos, está lloviendo y se está mojando porque no llevan una chamarra o unos zapatos conforme cuando está lloviendo. Ahorita nosotros nada más nos enfocamos en el invierno, no hablamos del verano. En el verano está el calor y 30 minutos, eso es harto para caminar en el verano con las temperaturas altas del calor. Eso, yo nada más quiero que, si, pues, por favor, pueden leer bien otra vez nuestro informe. Y estamos más, sí nos ayudaría mucho que nos dieran los bases para nuestros niños. Es por su salud, por su bienestar y por su aprendizaje que estamos aquí y preocupándonos por ellos. Gracias.
Okay. Can I get a follow-up question?
And I think what it is again, we're almost ready to adjourn time-wise, is that we do have a member of the Hillsborough School Board that is on here. But
this is an issue just like the issue that faces the schools, that Representative McLean said, do we get a teacher or do we have the buses? But I think that this is something that is going to be on the top of a lot of people's priority list. And there are some ideas that I have that we're going to go forward on it. So Representative Solman and Representative Wilson.
I'm curious. I just had a follow-up question. You said you've met with the district, so district officials, not a formal presentation in front of the board. Have you had? Do you have a cost, associated with what that would? Have they told you what the cost of the busing service for that?
There was a document that was presented to parents at a meeting last fall with the cost that would have given us how many additional buses we needed and drivers and the total cost of that.
Do you remember?
I don't have
that. That's okay. I can get, but that was presented to you, so I can get that information.
Beth Brazier.
Okay.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just say this situation doesn't make sense. This is not rocket science, and we ought to be able to figure this out. There are a lot of good minds in this place, and there are ways that this can be handled. I have a feeling some waivers may be on tap. Mm-hmm. But this has got to be fixed. This is crazy.
Additionally, there's no sidewalks. That's the issue.
Right.
Okay. Anything else? Because one last comment, and then we're going to have to. And so.
En Hillsboro creo que es la única escuela que no tiene bus y muchos papás están moviendo los niños de esa escuela para otros lugares, se están moviendo de viviendas y todos los que estamos tenemos la esperanza de que ustedes nos ayuden. La mayoría de padres que trabajan, la mayoría todos se van de las 5 de la mañana, es muy temprano y a veces es bien preocupante que los niños se van caminando, mojados y no se pueden concentrar en clases. Sí les pedimos de favor que revisen nuestro caso y que nos pudieran ayudar. Muchas gracias.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else? Okay, with that, we close the informational hearing on safe routes to schools. Anything else? We have anything that we have?
Yeah.
Okay. We will see you all Wednesday, 3 o'clock. With that, I adjourn the House.
My name is Rosa Carmen. Excuse me, I'd like to just interrupt. I cannot hear her.
Can you put the microphone closer to
the... There's a lot of static on the line with that. We're here for as mothers from the W.L. Henry Elementary School.
Can you hear her?
I can hear her a little bit better. I think so, because there's a lot of static on the line. Con permiso. Ahora sí. Gracias.
Buenas tardes, Presidente Doherty.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairman Doherty and the members of the committee. Thank you for the invitation to be able to testify before you today. My name is Jose La Carmen, and my friend here is Eloisa Rivera. We are here as mothers from the school W.L. Henry, and today we're talking to you about, after many meetings that we've had of parents, after many school years, we're talking to you, also representing many other parents of the school, about the problems of safety and health of the students that have been amplified because of lack of busing. Safety, because of our children are walking to school, also because the kindergarten students that are even smaller, we are worried. We're worried about their ability to be able to walk appropriately to the school. In the winter, it's dark, and usually it's raining, and frequently it's foggy, and it is the area we have no sidewalks and not adequate lighting. The cars frequently are going faster than the limit, and they don't follow the laws of pedestrian laws. Some of the students that are even smaller, they don't know how to cross the streets safely. Even though most of the students know how to push the light, the flashing light, to be able to cross the street, many cars choose not to stop. And the residents of that zone frequently don't look to see if there are students walking across those crosswalks. There have been many reports of children who are almost hit by cars, and parents who are walking their children to school, they have been hit by cars. There is more worries about health on the roads. We live in a zone that with some people that are homeless and they're addicted to drugs. We also know that there are predatory sexual abusers that are registered in that area. And we're worried because our smaller children do not understand the danger of strangers. There have been separate reports of adults that are unknown that have gotten close to children and asking them for them to get into their car or get close to them. Another problem is for our children is also that our children find. They find needles, pornographic material, and also containers with strange liquids in it and unpleasant things. Also, there's a problem with loose dogs in the neighborhood. The police have been called many times after dogs who are aggressive have scared children and parents. My name is Eloisa Rivera, and I'm going to talk about health. Another problem about safety that is important is the health of our children. Children at the W.L. Henry School suffer from chronic problems because of their living situations. We are a community that are low income, and with high cost of living, we have been forced to live in apartments and houses that have mold. Many children that go to W.L. Henry have chronic problems like asthma, and so that makes it more difficult for them to walk to school. Other students have problems with their sight, and it limits their ability to walk to school. And since Oregon is so cold in the winter and rains frequently, when the students are sick, they have to stay home and they're unable to go to school. We struggle to be able to provide adequate clothing for them, and sometimes the kids get wet and during their walk to school. Sometimes that's even 30-minute walk to school. They have to keep those clothes on, socks and shoes, during the day, all day long. The school tries to help these students to be able to change their clothes into warm clothing, but they don't have the resources to be able to provide a change of clothing to every student. Because of low resources, they frequently get sick and they lose a large part of the school. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. Me and other parents, we will be available after this to take questions from you. Thank you. Mariana, if I can see them, I can hear them. So if you'll just sit back so I can see them. I think as long as I can see them, I'm okay. Thank you. She's English.
Absenteeism, academic achievement. Hello, Chair Dory and members of the committee. Thank you for inviting us to testify before you today. My name is Elvia Mendoza, and I'm here as a parent from W.L. Henry Elementary School. I am speaking to you after numerous meetings with other parents over multiple school years. I will speak to you today on behalf of myself and other parents about how the lack of busing has affected the absenteeism and academic achievement. Absenteeism, we were told
that the legislature has done a lot of work around chronic absenteeism. We see our busing issue as a cause of absenteeism at W. L. Henry, as my fellow parents have mentioned. Our students get sick walking to school, since myself and other parents are at work and cannot walk their school, our kids to school. Some kids don't walk to school or arrive late because of the weather. We wish we could be there to ensure our kids get to school on time, but we have to be at work.
My name is Rosa Valderas, and I'm going to talk about achievement, academic achievement. When our children get to school, very frequently they get their cold and wet, and they stay in those clothes. And they should be paying attention at school, but since they're cold and wet, they're not in the adequate mentality to be able to pay attention. Even some of the teachers have stated that our children are distracted when they're wet and cold, and their distraction can affect the atmosphere of the entire class. We know that W.L. Henry is one of the low academic scoring schools, and we know that we can make it better if we had more resources. I see that the school transport is one of the resources that would help. Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Doherty and the members of the committee. Thank you for the invitation to be able to come and testify before you. My name is Laura Gomez Martinez, and my friend here is Rocio Lopez Alamez. And we're here as worried mothers for the school of W.L. Henry. Today we talked to you guys after many school meetings through many school years. Today we're talking to you representing other parents about the barriers and difficult economic difficulties caused for the lack of busing. Other parents have mentioned the barriers that they face because of the ability to buy winter clothing. This is very far from being the only barrier that they face. There are parents that have stopped working to be able to ensure that their children get to school in a safe manner. And then others miss hours at work to be able to take their children to school. This creates an economic barrier for our low-income families. Some parents cannot miss work to be able to walk or to drive their children to school. And there are parents that don't have access to have a valid driver's license. These parents would have to walk with their children or make sure their children walk alone or pay someone else to drive their children to the school. Other parents and neighbors charge the parents that drive their children to the school, and they charge a by-child basis. And since we have limited income, it is more difficult for us to pay rent and other bills. Hello, my name is Rocio Lopez, and I'm very happy to be able to present myself here in front of you to talk about the school of my children. I'm going to continue with the theme that my friend here was talking about. Walking to the school is, and just like I've told you before, we are more prone to get more sick. The parents and the children having to walk to the school, we do not have insurance, and when we accompany our kids, we are in a poverty population, and we are at a higher risk for our health, and we don't
cannot afford to get health insurance either. So in order to pay these additional costs to the doctor, it would cause a hardship to the families. I give you thanks for giving me the opportunity to explain this to you. Me and other parents, we are available here for any questions after our testimonies.
So we're going to open up the panel to questions, and how are we going to do this? We'll just ask a question and somebody translate them.
Translate it up to parents.
Any questions for the panelists? Well, maybe I'll start out. I worked in Harrisburg for 30 years at the school.